This is The Agriculturist, the official podcast of the student-created magazine in the Texas Tech University Department of Agricultural Education and Communications. In each episode, we hear from the students as they expand on the stories you'll see in the printed and online magazine from the school we love so dearly.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whatever time of day it is for you. It's always a good time when you tune into the Agriculturist podcast. My name is Micah Perry. I'm an agricultural communications senior in the Davis College of Agricultural Sciences and Natural Resources. And today I'm joined by some very interesting teammates of mine, and I'd like for them to introduce themselves to you.
Hello, I am Kylie Farmer, and I'm the lead writer for our team on The Cotton Story.
I'm Riley Hoyle, and I'm the lead photographer on our story about cotton as well.
Hi, I'm Emmy Wally, and I am the lead graphic designer on our story.
And I got to serve as the advertising and digital content manager for the team. So, you guys are talking about a story here. What kind of story are we looking at?
So, our story, so this year we did things kind of different with the block, which is the block of classes that all work together to create The Agriculturist. And we all, instead of writing individual stories, we wrote stories as a team. And so, our story was about Texas Tech's cotton research portfolio, which is a really big story to write. Yeah. And so we have many a story to tell about the process of writing our story. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about that cotton story.
Okay. All right. Well, and I'm assuming there's a lot of interviews that go into the process of creating a story. And I think we've had some interesting interview subjects. I've got an audio clip here from Dr. Shamshina.
I'm ashamed to admit, but I just 2 weeks ago finished Gone with the Wind
book. That's awesome. Dr. Shamshina's interview was one of my favorites, and I got to go back and interview again for her profile, but it was so cool to get her perspective on things that are so normal here in America. Like, we all grew up watching movies like Gone with the Wind, and to her, that was like this whole new like cultural experience, this movie that was like a classic for all of us. But it was also really interesting to me, like, how she relates that to cotton. Like, that's what she thought of when we started talking about cotton, Gone with the Wind. And that was like so funny.
Yeah, we were all falling asleep in fifth grade class watching that movie.
And she, like, there was so many things that she would talk about like that, or she would say something and she'd be like, but I don't know. She was really fun to talk to, though, and she had such a different perspective on things, not only because she's from Russia originally, but also because she has such different background than most professors that we got to talk to at Texas Tech. I think her time working in industry really gave her an outside perspective that was really cool for us to bring into our story. We were talking about cotton research, but we also got the industry side of it as well from her.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that was really cool about that interview and why it kind of stands out in our brains is that that was our first interview. And I don't know about y'all, but I was a little scared. I was like, dang, I'm the lead writer for this cotton story. And just for some background, none of us are from here. I'm from California. Mike is from Beaumont, Texas. Emmy's from White House. So we got some East Texas, Southeast Texas friends over there. And Riley's from Arkansas. So I was kind of questioning my decisions at this point when we were like, oh, shoot, we have to do some interviews. And Dr. Shamshina, not only was she a wealth of knowledge, but kind of made me feel better about like, okay, we can do this. We can have fun with it and we're going to get some good content.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was a real good kickstart to the story, I would say. But, you know, we had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes. We had to start as a team. And I'm really interested to know what your guys' takes were when we were first assigned as a team, if you had any first impressions or what you were thinking about how it was going to play out 2-3 months ago.
I was terrified for like my graduation to depend on working on a team. But I was like really excited once we started and like actually sat down and started talking to each other, because I knew Kylie, we did AgriTexans together. But other than that, I really didn't have like any background on Micah or Emmy. So I wasn't sure like what to expect. So that was really fun going into it too. I was like, I have no idea like what these people's strengths are. But obviously, Dr. Kennedy and all of our other professors think they're really good at these specific things. So like seeing y'all do your thing was so awesome. And like being able to see you like each for who you are and like learning about that was a really cool part of the semester too. and like how we all worked together. I thought that was a really cool thing. Like, we all were assigned to do certain things and all had certain responsibilities, but the fact that we were able to like draw on each other's strengths and to learn those so quickly was something that I didn't necessarily expect when we went into it, but it's something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
My first impression, I guess, would be like, these are new people I've never met before. I have the chance to like really learn who these people are. I'm going to have to spend the whole semester with them. So might as well make a good time of it. And it's honestly been one of the best experiences I've had in college, I would say. Like, I've been in groups like from freshman year, obviously. We've all have. And they're usually pretty terrible. But this has definitely been the best group that I've ever been a part of.
I think the one first impression that stands out to me, and Emmy's going to laugh at this, but Emmy was working at Chick-fil-A when we started our team, and we had been talking about branding and marketing, and Emmy had that Chick-fil-A brand down. And of course, everyone's willing to talk about Chick-fil-A in class. So that's like all I knew about Emmy was like, oh, we have the Chick-fil-A girl on our team. I mean, she's willing to talk up in class. She must be pretty cool. And then when we started working on our team, she was working like 40 hours a week. And I was just like, how is this going to work? Like, we have the Chick-fil-A girl and it's taking over her life. But Emmy proved my apprehensions wrong and has kicked booty in all of her graphic designs. Seriously. And even started her own business in the middle of this. So
unbelievable.
No more Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. So I wanted to point out another, so we're talking about challenges. We're talking about interesting things that are happening as we're putting this story together. You know, everything's new to us. And I thought that there was an instance, and I'm going to pull up an audio clip from it. When we were interviewing Dr. Guo, and we had set up, we had 20 minutes to interview this guy and get as much information out of him as, and he talked.
And we had an interview right before our interview with Dr. Guo. So we were hustling
back
and we
knew
we only had 20 minutes and he changed the location on us right before we met with him.
Yes.
He was like, actually, my office is kind of messy. Let's meet in my lab. And so we were already a little frazzled and then he took over so, in the best way.
In the best way possible.
Yeah, it was awesome. But here was like something really interesting happened in that interview.
One question. Well, can you introduce your friends in here?
So we got started already.
Okay. You can bring them in front of the camera.
Come over here. Okay.
Y'all look nice today.
Yes.
Short clip. What is going on in there?
So while we were in the middle of his interview, and, like, he definitely did take it over. I mean, he took us into his lab. He had it staged. Like, there was drones set up. There was pictures of cotton on the screens. Like,
he was ready.
Yes.
He was so ready for us. And he was ready to put on a performance.
Oh, he was.
Awesome interview.
It was incredible. And he was performing. Like, hands moving, arms gesturing. It was awesome. And then in the middle of it, his graduate students, who are from all over the world, like, peeked in the door, like looked around the corner and then slammed the door and left. And he was like, no, come back in here. So I don't know if he like tricked them.
I think my theory is that he knew that if he was like, you're going to be interviewed and they're going to have cameras, that they would have been like, nah, I'll just work from home or something like that. And so my theory, and this is total speculation, but I don't think that he told them what he was doing that day.
Yeah.
And he was just like, team meeting at 1 o'clock or whatever time it was. And then he opened the door and we're like, shoot, those are not our teammates. And it was us with a bunch of cameras.
Uh-huh. They sure did match, though. Editing that picture and everything, they were all like blues and greens. I was like, thank you.
Laid out with our theme perfectly.
Yes, yeah. It matched our story colors. And honestly, it gave a really interesting perspective. And I think Mike can talk to this a little bit more. But yeah, having that international perspective, they were all using cotton as kind of like a launch pad to their research and being able to apply that not just in different crops, but different regions, different countries as well.
Unfortunately, Emmy wasn't there for these past two interviews we talked about.
Yes, I'm so sorry, guys.
What was Emmy up to? Because I don't think it should be thrown under the covers here because Emmy was doing some really important stuff.
In the very beginning, there's not a lot you can do with like the graphic design layout aspect of it because you don't really have any material to work on yet. And everybody has been so like inclusive on like working. So a lot of it was kind of like helping everybody else with their jobs in the beginning. But as the time has gone on, Riley's been able to take pictures, and then Kylie's put the story together, and Micah's been able to get our sales ads together. So everything's coming together, and now I have all these pictures to edit and make into graphics. And we kind of got that idea from one of my interviews with Brooke Shoemate. She's a graduate student here at Tech, and she is doing cotton research as well from like start to finish. Incredible research. And with that, we were able to pick up a pamphlet from the FBRI building, and it kind of streamlined what our layout would look like for the rest of the year, really. So I've been kind of an artist all my life, but kind of put it in the closet for a little bit and not wanted to mess with it because it's just time consuming, but it definitely comes into play as the graphic designer on the team. So I took all of our photos and stuff and turned them into Illustrator graphics.
Which was really cool.
So
she's not giving herself near enough credit.
I think so.
She also drew part of the illustrations that are included in our layout and the font that we used for our header. She's been incredible at everything she's done this semester.
We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with more from your content team on how we put this story together and some unique experiences. It's here.
We are agricultural communication students at Texas Tech University, and we've been hard at work to bring you the Agriculturalist magazine.
Our featured story is about the cotton research being done at Texas Tech and how it serves cotton producers across the Texas High Plains.
Other topics we cover include water conservation, agricultural advocacy, Texas wine, and more.
Find it online at ttuagriculturist.com or in a mailbox near you.
An ag podcast that's interesting, from the Davis College to the ag industry. Produced by students on the AgCom block, the Agriculturist, it really rocks. Tune in next time to learn something new, but until then, we give our thanks to you.
Welcome back from the break. We are going to dive right back into some memorable story experiences as we've detailed this cotton story.
Back to our interviews here, because I missed a few of them, and there was one with the producer, our cotton grower, and it's like listening back to that interview, not being there, your mind is putting so many visuals in your head, and it is just unbelievable everything that is going on. So let's listen to that, and then I want to hear from Riley.
Fresh market stuff. Yeah, no, I will not ever forget those poor police trying to roast those llamas or alpacas or whatever.
So what stop? Why the chicken crossed the road?
Well, yeah, I was like, gosh, I'm going to hit a chicken.
Well, someone hit a chicken, so I heard a bird.
How much
a dog.
Of the farm are you talking about? I heard like llamas, alpacas, chickens, a dog in the background.
What is going on?
Well, I would just like to say, first off, that was the most fun that I've had doing an interview ever.
And you had to drive up to Plainview for that.
Yeah. So I drove to Plainview one afternoon and spent almost 3 hours talking to Mr. Glenn Scher. And no, we definitely did not talk about cotton the whole time, as you heard in that clip. But it was so much fun. Like, it was pretty much like talking to my grandpa, which was really refreshing after not being home in a few months. But as soon as he pulled up, this brown, long-haired border collie jumps out of the truck. And I was like, oh my gosh, that looks just like a dog we had when I was little. So I was already off the bat, like, so excited. So we, like, went through our interview. We're talking, like, laughing, life stuff, random things, his, like, specialty crops, the farmer's market, their store they opened, their cattle. And then the dog, like, finds this piece of, like, what is it even? Like a water hose. It was like a piece of a water hose that they had cut for him to play with. And he starts bringing it up to us and he just starts playing tug of war with us, like in the middle of the interview. And if we wouldn't play with him, he would like hit us with it and then make us play fetch with him. So that's going on through like the whole interview. The dog's just following us around, making us throw this water hose for him. And he barks. And it was so fun. Like that was, I mean, it was obviously like the most chill interview that ever could have possibly happened.
I will say that is how you get good interviews, yeah. Though, because on my side, I was not at that interview. And so I got some really good quotes because Riley made a personal connection with Mr. Glenn Scher. And yes. I know the animal kind of theme really carried through a lot of his interview. I have to point out one of the things that he said was cotton is a lot like the livestock he's raised. And one of those livestock are sheep. And he said that sheep are put on this planet to find a place to die or a way to die. And if you've raised sheep, that's somewhat true.
It feels pretty true.
And he was like, cotton's the same way. We're here trying so hard for it to not die the first half of its life. And then the second half of its life, we are just trying to get it to die so we can get the cotton off of it.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So it's been a unique experience in the block.
Yes.
Yeah.
With everything that's happened. Do you guys have any memorable moments, anything that like pops into your mind that you're going to think of for years?
Yes. My 5 times around the loop, I couldn't find the road to the FBR building. And Brooke called me. She's like, you could go down that little dirt road. I was like, I was literally just there. And Kylie and Riley told me, no, don't go down there. You're going to drown. Because there's like, I was like, where am I going to drown in Lubbock? There's no water.
It was muddy the first time we went out there.
So for some context, the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute is quite so literally.
I can't say that.
It is quite literally in the middle of a cotton field, and it's out on the East Loop, out 19th, like in this super like rural meets industrial part of town. And Google Maps takes you behind the building on this dirt road where you stand there and you're like, I'm jank. Not supposed to be here.
But I made it. We made it to the interview. Yeah. We got stuff. We're good. Everything worked out.
One really cool thing that stuck out to me this semester, I went back and interviewed Dr. Shamshina for her profile. And the day that I went to interview her, she was working with a high school student. And this high school student for her senior project was creating bioplastics.
What?
And I was just sitting there watching this 18-year-old.
Probably with, not even 18
probably
yet.
Probably not.
Wow.
Work with this world-renowned scientist to create bioplastics. I was like, so what do your like classmates do for their senior project?
Were you thinking like, oh, they must go to a high school that's like way yeah. up there, uh-huh. like STEM yeah. based, like up on another level, oh, not yeah. like the high school I went nope. to.
And yeah. she goes, most of them bake something or host an event. And I was like, what are you? Okay, cool.
What you're school just, y'all go to? We didn't have senior projects.
She's just way wow. out there doing big definitely things. And I'm just over here with my camera like, you are so awesome. I'm so excited.
That makes me think of, I can't tell you how many hours, mind you, talking to all these researchers, half of this stuff is going way over my head. And I know about cotton. Like, I have a background in cotton. And so I'm like listening back to these transcripts and all I can hear, because Riley and I did a lot of the interviews together, all I hear is, wow, cool. That's so crazy.
And they're actually genuine, like, cools. That's
some
cool.
of them were genuine, yes. but there was always a point, and I'll tell you why uh-huh. I say it like that. There was always a point in the interview where you could tell that we were maxed out yep. on information.
Yeah.
And
it definitely changed.
There was no more intake. There was no more information going into our brains.
It was information overload to the highest.
And we were just trying to nod.
But in the best way possible. Like, these people were so excited to talk to us and to tell us about what they did. Uh-huh. And to show us for that fact, like when me and Amy went back and did Brooke's interview, they turned on like every machine at the FBR yeah. center for
they're
us.
They're like, here's the gin. And Brooke was like, they're not going to turn it on for us. And he was like, you want me to turn it on? We're like, yeah.
So, those technicians there were so awesome. Yes. Awesome. The amount of knowledge that the technicians there have. And I think Dr. Brendan Kelly talked a lot about this. Like, they have such specialized knowledge that sometimes they're faster at catching yes. things than the machines are. And they were so nice to like stop in the halls and talk to us, even though some of them wanted to run because he had a camera.
But they did like whatever we needed them to do. If I was like, hey, can we video your hands? Hey, can I take a picture of this? They were like, oh yeah, absolutely. Get up here, do whatever you want to do. No. They talked to us like they were really the coolest people.
Yeah, definitely some of the most humble people on earth in that building yes. and just involved in the cotton industry in general.
Okay, kind of wrapping up here. What ways do you believe that the AgCom Block experience is going to impact your career? And what advice do you have for the next AgCom Block?
My advice to like future AgCom students is do not lie about what you're good at. Mm. Like at all.
There was like a survey at the yeah. beginning of the yeah. semester that you got to say like what your strengths were, and it was kind of like an application for the team. So you got to say like your first choice of job, your second choice of job, just so they could to help them place you in a team.
Yes. Yeah. I would just say be really honest in that, because you're not going to just do that whole thing through the semester, but it makes you pair really well with people that have other strengths that you're not so strong in. Like I'm okay at writing. I don't love it. And so, that's why Kylie's our lead writer. And so Riley is a fantastic photographer, and Micah knows more about numbers than anybody else. So we just all kind of click in that way. And we were really honest about that in that application. So I feel like that really helped us. And then overall with this experience, I would say like just helping my future career. I'm starting my own business. So just learning how to work with different components of people that I would need potentially within my own business, and just learning how to play off other strengths, basically.
Yeah.
My piece of advice, I think, is that you need to lean into that team aspect. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been a theme throughout this podcast, because that's something that was so impactful for our team. You need to lean into that team aspect, because if you're going to be a teammate who just wants orders given to them, that means that somebody else has to be the one giving orders to you. Nobody wants to do that when you're supposed to like each other. Yeah. Like that's kind of just setting yourself up for something that's a little more resentful. And I think that this is an experience that if you haven't had a chance to work on a team as a collaborator, as a true peer, this is your chance to do it. Because even though I have lead in my title, there were times that it was a lot more collaborative than just Kylie giving the directions. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, when we were designing our layout, I'm really good at putting things on a page, and Emmy's awesome at, like, the individual aspects or assets. And so we worked together on that, and there wasn't an issue of, oh, my gosh, that's Emmy's layout and not mine. And so really lean into that team aspect and truly, truly collaborate, because it's going to make things so much easier. Looking forward for me, I'm going to grad school in the fall at Texas Tech, and I think that the block really is your first chance to truly, truly bring all the pieces together. So I think that going forward, I'm going to have that mindset of a strategic communicator, you know, where I'm not just looking at writing for writing's sake or designing for designing's sake or photography for photography's sake. I'm going to see how all the pieces come together, and I think that'll be really helpful in the future.
Yeah, I would definitely echo exactly what Kylie said about embracing that team aspect. Like I said, for me, when we started the semester out, I was a little like scared about working in a team and having my whole grade depend on that. But I would definitely say go into that with an open mindset. Don't go into that scared or worried, but embrace it. Like Emmy said, if you're all honest with each other about your strengths and your weaknesses, and you learn to lean on one another and to play to those strengths and those weaknesses, it's going to be such a great experience, mm-hmm. and one that's really going to help prepare you, whether it be grad school like Kylie and I are doing, or running your own business, or applying for jobs. Like, all of those things are going to be applicable to the real world. Like I said, I am going to grad school in the fall. I'm actually moving to Stillwater in just a couple weeks, which is terrifying. But I definitely feel like working with you guys and working through these things in the block has helped prepare me for those challenges that grad school is going to bring. I mean, it's going to be a new and scary experience, just like going to our first interview was. Just like sitting down to put all of this together was. Like, these are things that have helped prepare me for those new scary challenges. And I think it definitely brings with it like a sense of confidence going into them, because we face so many of them and we've overcome so many of them already. It's like, if we can do that, why can't I go to grad school? Why can't I do that?
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Entering the AgCom block, this is your final opportunity to show initiative. And you've been being prepared for the past 3 years of your collegiate career. Now's the time to actually put it to work and believe in yourself. Like, seriously, understand your strengths and your weaknesses, attack your weaknesses and use your strengths, and really find the best way that you can fit in with your team. Don't dominate. Don't put yourself under. Be a team player and take initiative. I think that was something that was an underlying hint or tone from our professors this semester, was like, they're going to give us some instruction, but they want us to be taking the lead on things. And so that's what I would advise you to do, is just take charge and kind of rush into it head first. And you fall down, you've got teammates that are going to help you right back up. Well, We thank you so much for listening to us today. We hope that you're able to draw a good piece of information from this podcast, and we hope that you'll tune in to further editions of the podcast where we explore all sorts of agriculturally related topics. And we really hope that you enjoyed today, and have a good one.
The Agriculturist Podcast was completely produced by students enrolled in the Agricultural Communications Block at Texas Tech University. The Block is a capstone experience where students enroll in 4 courses to produce the magazine and a campaign plan. To learn more about our program, go to depts.ttu.edu/agEd. The Agriculturist is available online at ttuagriculturist.com and is available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.